a new shir, a new interesting idea, which relates to a shir we gave on Hanukkah time. On Hanukkah we spoke about the unique mitzvah of hiddur mitzvah in the mitzvah of Hanukkah. So the truth is that I wanted to speak about it. I don't think I ever did, certainly not last year or this year, before, speak more generally about the idea of hiddur mitzvah, because it's an important idea. There's a well-known Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, which quotes the pasuk from this week's parsha. We know that in B'Shalach, a great climactic story with the Kriyas Yam Suf, and of course Moshe leads the Jewish people in the singing of the Oz Yashir, and one of the most famous psukim from the Oz Yashir includes the phrase Ze Keli V'Anveihu. So the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, I'm stalled for the sheep to come, but it'll be here any minute. Gemara Masechta Shabbos quotes different perushim, but what does that mean, Zekeli Vanvei? So, Gemara, in essence, gives two explanations, and our shir will be focusing on one explanation. So, in the meantime, to stall for yet another minute, I'll tell you very important, which is the other explanation we're not focusing on. The Gemara says that one of the ways that, in essence, we beautify Hashem, in a certain sense, you know, something that our parents taught us when we were young, that imitation is the highest kind of flattery. So the Gemara, according to one pshat, says that's what it means here as well. That if we imitate Hashem, that's a form of hisna'ah, that's a form of beautifying, in the sense of imitating. That's a flattery, so to speak. And the Gemara gives the very famous examples of mahu chanun, afatachanun, mahu rachum, afatachum, that whatever the midos are of Hashem, and specifically the examples of the Gemara have to do with the compassion of Hashem, the kindness of Hashem, so we too should incorporate those. To be a mensch, to be a racham, to be kind, to be compassionate, is a kiyum. It's a kiyum de mitzvah daraisa of mahu af ata. The fancy Latin is imitatio dei. We should imitate Hashem. And that is considered a very, very important mitzvah. However, the Gemara in the other opinion, which is the dominant discussion there in the Gemara in Shabbos, says that Zekeli Vaveo should be translated as Hisna'el Lefanav the mitzvahs. We're still waiting for the sheets. They arrived. On cue, for the cue man from Los Angeles, from London. Although I use the word cue in the English sense of the word here. Do you have my copy? Oh, we don't have it. Okay. Well, if you guys could quote the sheets for me, that would be good. I really know it all by heart. I'm a genius. You had Rabbi Rosenzweig sitting here last week, so that's like a little genius. I'm just like pretend. Thank you very much. So the Gemara says, if you take a look here, second source on the sheet, Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, Ze keli vandehu, hisna'e lefanav b'mitzvos. We beautify, how do we beautify Hashem? What does that mean, beautify Hashem? We beautify our mitzvos for Hashem. Asa lefonav, say lefonav, sukana, lulav noa, all the different mitzvah objects, numerous examples, very famous, you should have a beautiful lulav, and a beautiful shofar, a beautiful tzitzis, a beautiful sefer Torah. All of those things are a kiyum, says the Gemara, of hiddur mitzvah, zekeli v'anvehu. We have to beautify ourselves before mitzvahs. We see on the last line, Abishol says, "Have a domelo." We imitate Hashem. The two definitions, the two fulfillments, and of course these are not mutually exclusive. It's important, of course, to do both. But for the purpose of this year, we want to focus on the first opinion in the Gemara. Thank you very much, Rabbi Cohen. Someone can have this. We want to focus on the. I can autograph it later for you. We're up on eBay, make some money for you. So. We're going to focus on the first opinion of the Gemara, Hisna lefana the mitzvos, what you and I more colloquially, more commonly refer to as the idea of hiddur mitzvah. Now, as an aside, I should tell you, and this is not at all the focus of the shir, it's an aside, there's a big, big discussion about whether this drasha is a real drasha. In other words, is the idea of hiddur mitzvah a chiyuv d'oraisa or not? The Gemara is learning from a pasuk, so is that a d'oraisa or not? There's a big discussion. The Seif Temed has a big discussion, and there's rayas back and forth, and it's like a big battle royal, you know, 22 shitas on one side and 28 shitas on the other side. It's a big discussion. There's lots of rayas for this. If you have Rav Asher Weiss, say, from Chumash, from the Chas Asher, he has a discussion of this, but Ayin Shav, that's not our topic per se. One way or another, that's not what I want to focus on. What I would like to focus on is a theme which goes through a number of halachos, we'll focus on two or three, of examples of Hiddur Mitzvah, where at least some Achronim, and again, we'll see, they're going to argue that this is really in the Rishonim, have a certain principle, a certain premise about the way Hiddur Mitzvah works, or in what cases it can and cannot work. A lot to talk about Hiddur Mitzvah, but that's the specific targeted goal it will be our focus, to speak about when we do and when we don't say Hiddur Mitzvah in the following way. The very same Gemara Masechta Shabbos, even though I put it second on the sheet, it actually comes earlier on the daf. It's actually what leads into the first part of the Gemara I mentioned. But the Gemara there quotes a very famous machlokes. And it's interesting because it's really such an esoteric detail, but because it touches on the issue of Hiddur Mitzvah, which is such a popular topic, it became well known. And that is something which, in a certain sense, I can't tell you, I know graphically, I could point out to you if we were in a biology class, so to speak, but it has to do with, very specifically, which parts of the foreskin are included in the mitzvah of bris milah, what has to be circumcised and what doesn't. And the Gemara here is describing that there are certain parts of the foreskin which are a little bit beyond the basic orla, and they're known as the tzitzit. Now within these tzitzit, the Gemara says, there actually are two types, which I guess, means more or less far away from the basic orla. But the Gemara says there's what's called tzitzit hama'akvin, which even though they're a little bit further away, if you don't remove those, then it's not a kasher mila. And what it says, there's another part of the skin which is known as tzitzit she einan ma'akvin. So lechachila, everyone agrees. Of course, a moel will circumcise the whole thing, we'll hopefully cut it all off. But we know so much of halacha is discussing b'dyavad. Right? What is the din if it wasn't done in the most ideal way? So here's where the Gemara and Shabbos picks up at number two. The Gemara says as follows. Hamal, someone who's doing a bris, calls manchu osek b'mila, as long as he's involved in the mila, and we'll have to see in a moment what that means. Choser, bein al tzitzin ha-ma'akvin esamila, bein al tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin esamila. The first half of the sentence is obvious. If you didn't yet remove all of the foreskin that is part of the definition of the mitzvah, that's ma'akev, of course you're going to have to go back, or else there's no mitzvah. And the boy is still going to chayv karis. But the chiddush says in the Gemara is that if you're still osek and you realize my initial slice did not take off everything, so then you go back and not only take off the tzitzin that are ma'akev, that's obvious, but you might as well even do the hiddur mitzvah of taking off the tzitzin she'einan ma'akvin. That theoretically, if 5 years later, 10 years later, we would examine a person and they still had that skin, we would say you're still kosher, but if you're still osek in the mila, you might as well do it the right way. However, says the Gemara, second line, pirish, if you had already stopped, and then you realize, or then, you know, someone took a look and said, uh-oh, you didn't take off enough, so then, depends. If you really didn't take off enough, you didn't fulfill the basic mitzvah yet, the skin that's left over is ma'akev choser, obvious. But, says the Gemara, in other words, the upshot of the Gemara is, the two cases will create a nafkemina for this hiddur mitzvah of tzitzin she'einan ma'akvin. Again, anything that would get in the way of fulfilling the mitzvah of bris milah, obviously you're going to go back for it. Not only a minute later, an hour later, or a week, or a year later. However, this extra skin, defined as tzitzin she'einan ma'akvin, which is fulfillment of the hiddur mitzvah, the most beautiful, ideal way of fulfilling the mitzvah, says the Gemara, it depends. Obviously, you should do it meirosh. And even if you forgot meirosh, but you're still there, you know, with the scalpel, with the knife, and you realize, right, you know, the mole's looking still, he's holding, you know, the baby's still crying, and the mother's still crying, we're all still there, we haven't had any lox or bagels yet. So then, you go back, and you even do the hiddur mitzvah. But pirish, you already get stopped. And as far as I understand, that could be a minute later, as it's not, let alone a year later or a week later, even in that moment. But if the mohel stops, he finished, he was done. And then he goes back and looks. Then someone else looks and says, uh-oh, for the mitzvah you did, don't worry, I'm not trying to create controversy. But you know, hit her mitzvah, you know, you left a little bit extra, isn't it? So then says the Gemara, you wouldn't go back. That's the Gemara. It seems to be very straightforward. However, when you look at Rashi, you get a sense that there might be something a little trickier here. The Shita of Rashi, which we'll see in a moment, is really more well known as the Shita of the Tur, because the Tur takes what Rashi seems to be saying as Pshat in the Gemara, and he passes it. So that's become more well known. But I thought it's Kedai we should first see Rashi even before we jump to the Tur. If you look at Rashi, unless I missed it, I think it's in three different Rashis, he seems to add something to the Gemara. And three different times, he adds the same word, or the same idea, which, please correct me if I'm wrong, disagree with me if you think I'm mistaken, is not in the Gemara at all. But Rashi seems introduced consistently. You take a look at Rashi, right away, the first words of the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, was Hamal. Someone is doing a bris milah. Does he go back? Not go back. That was the opening word. What did Rashi add? The Shabbos. That was in the Gemara. Rashi says they were talking about Shabbos. And Rashi repeats it, both in the first part of the first stage, which is if you're still involved. Rashi says, right, nit the Shabbos, litchos esla. Right, we know bris milah on Shabbos is not pashut. L'chora, it should be not only Asur, it should be Asur d'Oraisa, one of the 39 Malachos. Matilas in the Shabbos, you know that, to cause a wound like that to bleed on Shabbos. So the Gemara teaches us, in the Sefer Shabbos, as a special Xeris HaKosuv of Yom HaShmini, that Bris Mila is even Docha Shabbos. But only the actual Bris, which is necessary. So says Rashi, what the Gemara is getting at is a very interesting question, which at least at this point we didn't even realize we were discussing, which is which part of the Bris Mila is Docha Shabbos? So says Rashi, when you're doing the initial cut, the initial Maisa Mila, so then the whole thing is Docha. Not only what's ma'akeh that little bit, but if you're making one slice, what's the difference if you're taking off this much skin or that much skin? That one slice is what's docha Shabbos. And even if you realize you didn't take it all off yet. That was the first example of the Gemara. You realize you had not yet been sealing. You had not yet been kidding. Open the knife, you're right there. So that is considered still part of an extended, long initial ma'isa. And that's still part of the initial ma'isa, which is mutter. But says Rashi in the third now line, but if you had already been sealed, you already took away your hand, you took away the knife, and then you realized, oh no, I left some things I wish I would have cut. And those things are Einan Ma'akvin, you don't go back. Al Eilu lo nitim l'chalas ha-Shabbos. The Shabbos was only mutter to be violated. It's not really a violation, it's a mitzvah. But the Shabbos, you can do things you otherwise can't do on Shabbos, or the basic mitzvah, which would otherwise be a chiyuv karas. And once you do it, you should do it in the Muslim Hudar way. But once you fulfill that mitzvah, and all that's left is hiddur, says Rashi, who said you can violate Shabbos for hiddur mitzvah? And that reading of the Gemara is actually enshrined halachically by the Tur. The Tur quotes this halacha in Yerideh and Hilchos Milah Sin Reish Samach Dalid. The Tur said, when he quotes this Gemara, you go back for the tzitzin ha-ma'akvin. But the tzitzin, the extra skin, which are just hiddur, but they're not ma'akev, you don't go back, says Rashi. Says the Tur, pirish, ma'ari b'Shabbos. That whole Gemara is talking on Shabbos, which we already saw this from Rashi. It's not in the Gemara anywhere. But Rashi, and then followed by the Tur, reads that, I'll take your questions in a second, reads that into the Gemara. That was only talking about Shabbos. But what's the implication, which Rashi did not spell out for us, but now the Tur does? Aval, Eino Chos Rosh Ein Ma'akvin, Aval, last line, third line, Bechol, Choser al hakol bein ma'akvin and ma'akvin. This creative reading of the Gemara in Rashi gives rise to a huge chiddush ladina by the Tur. Says the Tur halacha lemaisa 6 days a week, 6 out of 7 brisim. Even if it's 10 minutes later, you already took away the knife, you put it away, you're totally sealed, and you realize that the only thing that was left over was this extra little extra skin, which is only a hit or miss anyway. Says the Tur, you should go back and remove that for hiddur mitzvah. Now, we didn't get that impression at all from the Gemara. But Rashi already set the stage for it, and the Tur went to the logical conclusion, which again, already based on Rashi, why not? The whole Gemara was only limiting it on Shabbos. It's all about the counter pressure, the tension between bris and Shabbos. But 6 days a week, there's no pressure, there's no tension. We might as well do the hiddur mitzvah. That's the psak of the Tur, and sure enough, the Ramah, also there, I mislabeled that I wrote underneath Shulchan Aruch, but that should be Ramah. Ramah says the same thing. Even during the week, l'chachila yito kol tzitzim hagadolim av she'enim akvim. Even if you stop, even if you have to go back, it's better to do that. Why not? The Ramah, the tour, based on Rashi, Paskin, this reading of the Gemara. Yeah. We're not discussing it, but obviously the l'chora, this would certainly make a lot more sense if it is d'oraisa, correct? Yeah, go ahead. It's a fair, in the discussion, trust me, each side has, you know, 10 rayas this way, 10 rayas that way, and obviously once you're talking about Shabbos, it's a factor. Now again, as you'll see in a moment, or we don't have to wait for a moment, the simple understanding of the Gemara is when you do Shabbos. And if I'm going to do Shabbos, I'm going to slay a riot. But yes, if we're Rashi, the tour, it would seem to be definitely a riot. Yes.
Two questions. First of all, how does Rashi work? Where does Rashi get this Marshal Mashabas?
The Achronim, the Shagasariyeh and others point out, and we don't have time, so I'm not going to read it with you, but they point out that it seems to be a good reading of the Gemara in continuation. Again, it's still not clear. Still not clear, but they suggested their support for Rashi later in the Gemara.
How do you see from the Ramah that he holds that you can even go back to the Gemara? Because he limits it to chol. In regular Hilchos Mila, what's the difference? Shabbos chol. There's the whole idea that you would even go back to a chol is not at all clear in the Gemara, right? If it's just a question of Hilchos Mila, what I do, what I don't.
It's not relevant, which is why the simple reading of the Gemara doesn't include it. Okay? Two Gemaras, yeah.
So after Shabbos, would you go back and cut it off?
According to the... that's a good question. It's a good question. How far would the tour go? How far would the tour go? Let's say it was a Shabbos bris. But if the tour says you go back during the week, the simple understanding is that you wouldn't. But there would be, it's an interesting question. According to the tour, why not? Yeah.
Well, shouldn't you say for Rashi that it really makes more sense to say by Shabbos? Because we're there for several
days
and he's only talking on
Shabbos
here.
Right, so you ask, in general, what's the context? The context there seems to be, again, even though in our discussion the word Shabbos did not come up. Okay? Now, why am I stressing this? I'm stressing this because the Rambam completely rejects it. The Rambam and those who follow him have a completely different reading of the Gemara, which is not such a chiddush. The Rambam's reading of the Gemara seems to be the Poshib Shad of the Gemara, which didn't mention anything about Shabbos. The Beis Yosef is the first to point this out, that it seems to me that the Rambam is against the Tur. Because the Rambam, when he quotes the Salacha, he quotes it in two different places, both in Perek Beis of Hilchos Mila Halacha Dalid, and then in Halacha Vav. And he repeats the Halacha twice. First thing the Rambam says is, calls Mach Osek Gemila, whatever you're doing Gemila. If you forgot, you left something, and you have to go back, Choser, when do you go back? Al Tzitzin Shem Akvin. Ein Al Tzitzin Shem Akvin. If you're still holding the knife, you go back on anything. But Yerush, you let go of the knife, you stepped away, then you only go back Al Tzitzin Akvin. Al Tzitzin Shem Akvin, Ein Choser. That's Halach Abdallah. Then the Rambam repeats this in Halach Vav with one introduction, one addition. There, in Halacha Vav, the Rambam introduces the Halacha, Osin Kol Tzarchei Mila B'Shabbos. There, the Chassid tells us that we can do all that's necessary for the Mila on Shabbos, and then when the Rambam is discussing what's really necessary, what's not necessary, the Rambam says, Al Tzitzin She'enim Akvin calls Man Shalom Pirish. Yeah, you go back on the Tzitzin She'enim Akvin if you're still holding the knife. But if you've already stopped, then you can't go back and cut again. So the Beis Yosef points out, and many Achronim follow this horror of the Beis Yosef. It seems to be very, like credit where credit is due. He's the first one who said it explicitly. But once he said it, it seems to be obvious reading of the Rambam. The Rambam, if the whole Gemara was only talking about Shabbos, then the Rambam would only have to tell us Halacha Vav. The fact that the Rambam adds already previously in Halacha Dalid, the Halacha that you don't go back if you've stopped on the Hidur Mitzvah, well, what's that talking about? According to the Tur, that Halacha is only on Shabbos, because during the week you do go back. But if the Rambam agreed with that, then he would have told us Halacha Vav. What is the Rambam adding by also telling us the same thing, Halacha Dalid? So the Beis Yosef points out, and as I say, pretty much all that Rambam follow the Beis Yosef, that you see from the Rambam that he disagrees with the Tur. He accepts the simple reading of the Gemara. What's the simple reading of the Gemara? That Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos, you never, ever, ever go back. Once you're Pirish, you don't go back for Hidur Mitzvah on the Tzitzin She'enim Akvin. Rambam mentions it twice, because in Halacha Dalit he's talking about Mila during the week. mentions it in Halacha Bava, because he talks about milah on Shabbos. You could say, well, why didn't he write only one halacha and put the same halacha? I'm not 100% sure, but it could very well be because it's a bigger chiddush to say during the week. You might have thought, again, a lot of good people thought, like Rashi, you might have thought, oh, it's special on Shabbos. So he tells you specifically twice, not only should you know it's a din in Hilchos Shabbos, but it's also a din during the week. Now, I mentioned before that the Shagas Aryeh and some others suggest to defend or to support Rashi that there's proofs from the Gemara. We're not going into that now, but there's such a discussion. So based on that, the Shagas Aryeh and others figure out, well, how does the Rambam read the Gemara and the continuation of the Gemara? Again, it's important, but in the limited time we have, I don't want to focus on that. But suffice it to say, each Rishon can find their way to have a proof or a counterproof or a defense in the reading of this Gemara or other Gemaras. But what I think is we do have a little bit of time to discuss, and to me ultimately is more interesting, is what is the rationale? Why would one say one way or the other? And this is already a discussion mentioned in, let's say, in the earliest, some of the earliest, but very early Achronim, about like a few hundred years already, in discussing the Sugya and in discussing Shitas HaRambam. So one Shita, which I have to say, I actually never knew until today, so it's good aim based medrash l'chiddush, every time you review a Sugya, you always learn new things, is the Sefer Merkeves HaMishnah. He always says interesting things, and this is no exception. The Merkeves HaMishnah says, you know why the Rambam says not to go back even during the week? After all, you know, maybe it wasn't clear. Let me phrase the question. The question now, in particular, is really more on the Rambam. In other words, leave aside the Pshat and the Gemara, but Misvara, why wouldn't you go back? So if it's a Din and Hilchos Shabbos, that we could readily understand Rashi in the Torah. Shabbos is a major counter pressure. It's like a shadow lurking over us. Shabbos. You know, it's even scarier than people throwing rocks. Like, you know, who wants to be called Shabbos? So I had this head there for Bris Milah, but I need to know, where's the line? You know, no pun intended, but you know, where do you go? How much can you do on Shabbos or not? So there I can see such a chilah. But during the week, what do you have to lose? That's Rashi in the Torah. So let's try the Rambam. Why not go back to the other 6 days of the week? So the Merkeves HaMishnah says something interesting. He says, you don't go back, Mishum Tzara Liyanuka. It has to do with the pain of the boy. You know, it's hard enough to have a Bris Milah. There's some Rishon who said that's why Minah Chutz La'aretz is not to have a Shem Yom with a Bris Milah because of Tzara Diyanuka. If you ever have a Bris in Israel, don't freak out. And then again, I can start to say Shem Yom. But in Chutz La'aretz, we all grew up and we never heard of Shem Yom with a Bris. And one of the reasons that's given in Rishonim is Tzara Diyanuka. So the Mekeres HaMishnah says that's why. You do one thing and that's it. But once you've already walked away, and once you've given there's some kind of a break, we're not going to traumatize the child again just for hit or miss. Okay, I'm not so convinced or excited by that reason. I mean, I am sympathetic to every baby, but it's hard to believe that's really what's going on in the Rambam, but why not? I put it on the sheet. It's more careful submission. The more well-known explanation of the Rambam, it's most well-known from the Beis HaLevi, but the basis of that was initially said by the Shagas Aryeh. Look at the bottom of the sheet. The Shagas Aryeh says as follows. Nearly. Kevin Sheb HaRambam B'chol Nami Mechalek Bein Pirish Bein Lo Pirish. The distinction in the Gemara of did I stop or not stop, which is in the Gemara, the Rambam doesn't say anything about Shabbos versus not Shabbos. The Rambam holds that chiluk applies 6 days a week and 7 days a week. Every day of the week. Once you stop, it's too late. Why not? Shema Minah says the Shagas Aryeh. The Sphere Legal is Shayach Hisna Lefanav Gabe Milah Elab Oj Shalo Pirish Elo Silek Yadav Mimen. You see from the Rambam, he doesn't explain so much why, and that extra oomph we're going to get from the Beis HaLevi in a minute, but he says, you see from here the following inescapable conclusion, that the Rambam holds that Hisna Lefanav, i.e., he's paraphrasing our Gemara that we started with, the idea of Peter Mitzvah, no longer works, it's no longer relevant, once you stop. Once you're sea lake, once you're pirish, once you stop your initial cut, hitter can no longer be accomplished. And if that's the case, memeva, it makes sense why you wouldn't go back. Because we said, what do you have to lose? So the Shagas Aryeh, you see it in the Rambam that you have nothing to gain. If you're fulfilling the hitter mitzvah, and there's no full Shabbos, so we said, that's the Rashi in the Torah, why not go back? But says the Shagas Aryeh, ain't a kanam, you're right. Elamai, you see from the Rambam, that you don't accomplish anything. How come if I did my initial cut, even though I didn't do it, but I'm still holding the knife, I would go back. He says, Pirish is schalta de milsa achritahi. In other words, he says, as long as you haven't been pierced with one long maisa, as long as one long maisa, even though there was a little bit of a break in the middle, which ideally shouldn't have been there, as long as one long maisa, you fulfilled hapirur mitzvah. It's like your two steps, but you know, you can get it better next time. But it is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's the fulfillment of the mitzvah, and chanami, why not do it? Bein b'shabbos, bein b'chol. You're fulfilling hapirur mitzvah. But once you stop, says the Shagasari, you see from the Rambam, if you would restart, it would be Eschalta Milsa Achriti, it would be a new Maisa. And on that new Maisa, apparently there can't be Hiter Mitzvah. So that's why the Rambam says there's no point in going back. In the Chanami, on Shabbos, it would be Osir to go back. But 6 days a week, you got the Osir, I mean, maybe it's Chabola or something, I don't know. I don't know if you go that far, it's Chabola. But says the Rambam, or says the Shagasari, but that's the Rambam, there's no point in going back. Maybe it's not until Shabbos. What will be the point of going since the Shema Akiva Hiter Mitzvah? Once you pierce, you see from the Rambam, he holds there's no Hiter Mitzvah. So why not? So it's pretty, it's almost there. Shagasai is basically saying it. He's just not as explicit at the Beis HaLevi. If you take a look at the second sheet, the Beis HaLevi, again, a very well-known Tshuva, Chelek Beis Simen Nun Zayin. Beis HaLevi quotes this Rambam, and he explains it. He doesn't quote the Shagasai, but it's the same idea. He just adds slight more explanation. However, he says, when it comes, because when it comes to sukkah or lulav, I do the hiter mitzvah, I build a beautiful sukkah or who knows what. So later, when I'm sitting in the sukkah or shaking the beautiful lulav and esro, as I'm fulfilling the mitzvah, I'm doing it in a more muhudar and a beautiful way. Mashenken gabi mila, mi'akar shikfar mal, I already did the mila. Upirish yada, but I already removed my hands from the baby. Harikvar nigmara maisa shalom mitzvah lagamre. The mitzvah is over. Okay, mitzvah hula mulas benavu parhu malo. You've already finished the mila. Ukishi yatzar. Okay, but now 2 minutes later, I realize, oh my gosh, I didn't do all the tzitzin, and I want to do a more mahudar thing. I want to go back for the hiter mitzvah. Kishi yatzar achar shekbar pirish v'silik yada v'al tzitzin shenam afin hari yisnae lo kiyam hamitzvah. Those extra 3 words. It's almost it's implicit, even almost obvious in the Shagas Tarei, but it didn't say it. The Beis Levi makes it explicit. When you go back, there's no kiyam hamitzvah. Says the Beis HaLevi, I'll rephrase in my own words, we call it Hidur Mitzvah. So you know what that requires? A mitzvah. If you're fulfilling a mitzvah, do it in a way that is more mehudar. But if you already fulfilled the mitzvah, the mitzvah's over. Sometimes in life you only get one bite at the apple. You did it already. If you did it in a way that is so deficient, ironically, so deficient that you even didn't do the Tzitzin Shet Ma'akvin, so then you have to go back. You have to take a second bite of the apple. Why? Because you still haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. And once you have to go back and fulfill the mitzvah, mainly you might as well do all the tzitzin and fulfill the hiter mitzvah. But if you did a good enough job the first time to fulfill the mitzvah, mitzvah's over. So, and if you're still holding the knife, so as we saw from Shagas Tarei, we can view that as an extended mitzvah. So it's still part of the mitzvah fulfillment. But if I fulfilled the mitzvah by taking off enough, and I already was pirish to see like I pulled my hand away, pulled the knife away, so then, Baruch Hashem, mazel tov, there's a mitzvah. Mitzvah d'oraisa and bris milah. I'm going to go back and take off extra tzitzin. They are, it's like osios, paraphrase the Gemara in another context, it's like osios parfos bavir, it's like letting, you know, the flying in the sky. They're not attached to anything. Hiter is only mahadir a mitzvah. But if I already fulfilled the mitzvah, there's no point, says the Rambam, in fulfilling the Hiddur. Hiddur, says the Rambam, understood by the Beis HaLevi and the Shagas Tarei, only works when it's attached to the basic mitzvah. But once you separate the Hiddur and the mitzvah, apparently according to the Torah and the Rambam, you still accomplish something. The Rambam, excuse me, in Rashi you still accomplish something. According to the Rambam, once you finish the mitzvah and completed that action, pause, break, there's no meaning. It's meaningless to do hiddur when the mitzvah is already over, but it's not connected and integrated with the mitzvah. Yeah.
Does that appear on the anyway?
I can't hear you.
Are they mashed that they ask us to do so?
So I mentioned before, I said on Shabbos is for sure asr. During the week, it's pointless. So I said, is it asr? I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, generally to cut off a part of a person's body for no reason is kavala.
Maybe.
So I said, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But the point, it's mamish meaningless. Is it really usher? That's a good question. I didn't look to see, you know, in the further postgim if they really would hold it's usher. I could see it being usher. I'm just not 100% sure. I'm not sure. Okay? So this is the famous Beis Halevi Shagasariye approach to Shitas HaRambam, that Hiddur Mitzvah requires being part of a mitzvah. That's the theme. We have 10 more minutes. I want to show you two or three other examples, in particular, in Beis Brisk. Beis Halevi is the top of the triangle for Beis Brisk. He's the founder of Beis Brisk. But we'll see this theme, not only in the Rambam, but especially in the Brisker perspective, is carried through in a number of other mitzvahs. Again, the principle that they enunciate, at least Peshitas HaRambam. Again, other Rishonim seem to disagree. But the Rambam, that he holds that there is a tight connection, a necessary connection between the Hiddur and the mitzvah. You can't have Hiddur if you don't have it based on the more basic key of the mitzvah. So perhaps the second most well-known example of this is the one that we alluded to, although we didn't focus on this aspect of it. We alluded to this back on Hanukkah. The second example that's very famous in this regard is the mitzvah of Hanukkah. We focused on the poskim when we gave a shiur on Hanukkah. Go back to the videotape. We focused on those poskim who seem to hold that Hanukkah is unique as opposed to other mitzvahs. But leave that aside for a moment. We mentioned at the time, I believe, that there seems to be machlokas between the Rambam and the Rambam. Right, level 2, Hiddur Mitzvah of Hanukkah, hopefully it's still familiar to all of you, is the idea that not only one person, Nerishu Beso, but you have candles with Kol B'nei Beso. So how do you understand that? So the Ramah, if you take a look at number 3, the Ramah mentions what is pretty much all of our minhag, universal minhag Ashkenaz, Yeshomrim, the Kol Echa B'nei Bais Yadav. Hiddur Mitzvah is that we all light our own menorah, we don't just yosei with the Baal Bais as menorah. However, many Achronim, point out that if you look carefully in the Rambam seems to have a different variation. It's interesting. If you look in the Taz assumes that the Ramah is based on the Rambam. And the Stechevet even says, it's so strange that the Ramah is working with the Rambam, Shachar Aruch is working with Tosfos, it's like an Ashkenazi, Sephardi confusion. But other Achronim point out, it's not so meduyak, because in fact, the Ramah is different than the Rambam, in a critical point. If you take a look at the Lashon of the Rambam, he says, Hamahadras and Mitzvah, Madlig Neros, Kaminyan Anshe Habayis. What is he describing? What's the reality in the Rambam's house? Right, the Rambam lighting. I don't like giving up that candle. The Rambam lights. How many candles, how many menorahs does he light? Hiddur Mitzvah is not just to light one menorah, but to light candles, to light a menorah for all the members of the house. If you have 12 kids, to light 12 menorahs, 13 menorahs, whatever, great. But it's the same father, the same Baal Bayis, lighting all the menorahs in front of the Rambam. But the Rambam, we all light our own menorah. So some just made the observation. But the Griz, the Velvel, that's the Brisker Rav's grandson, the Beis Halevi's grandson, it's a Levi, then Reb Chaim had two famous sons, Reb Moshe, and then Revelvel, so Revelvel is the Griz, the grandson of Beis Halevi. So Revelvel and his sefer on the Rambam, he really is bothered by this. What's going on with this machlokes, as he terms it, between the Rambam and the Ramah? And he says beautifully, I can explain it based on the Zayda. Kind of cool to be able to have not only a chiddush based on your Zaydi's chiddush. Maybe my kids won't bang grandkids. Mom, it's like not many families that could do that. Salvation scam. Anyway. Says the Griz, you know this machlokas in Hilchos Chanukah? It is the same machlokas in Hilchos Bris Milah. Now the Tur is not a player in Hilchos Chanukah. But if you remember, we said it's not just the Tur in Rashi, the Ramah passing like the Tur in Hilchos Bris Milah. So says the Griz, the Ramah and the Rambam are Lashitasa. What did the Beis Halevi explain that the argument in Hilchos Milah is? Can you effectuate, can you accomplish Hiddur if the mitzvah is already over? His big chiddush in the Rambam was that no, once the bris milah is over and the kiyum is over, there's no point. It's pointless to do hiddur. Apparently, the Ramah and the Torah Rashi disagree. So says the Brisker Rav. I'm going to paraphrase it now for the sake of time, but I gave you the key quote here. It's very easy to read for yourself. Says the Brisker Rav, who are the nami in Hilchos Hanukkah? According to the Rambam, you know why the father, the Baal HaBayis, has to be the one who lights. Because once he lights, that is the mitzvah, right? Nerishu Beisa, that's the ikar mitzvah for sure. Once he lights his own menorah, we're all yotzei. Elamai, if he keeps on lighting, it's one long maisa arichta, it's one long maisa. So he can do the maisa now in an ofen that is very muhudar. That's the second level. Erisha beso, now it's coming in habayis. B'nei habayis. Instead of lighting one menorah, he's going to light eight menorahs, whatever. So he's lighting, that integrates the hinor, everyone else lighting, with the ikar mitzvah, his menorah. Just like he said by Hilda's Bris Milah, that the system of Achman only matter if they're integrated, they're connected with the initial Chaticha, the initial Bris Milah. With me. But he says the Rambah disagrees. When the father lights his menorah, that is Neri Shubeso, that's the mitzvah. So now everyone else in the family, all the kids are lighting, what is that? That's Hiddur mitzvah. Hiddur mitzvah is beautiful. One second. But their menorah and their mitzvah havlaka is clearly distinct and separate from the father's menorah and the father's maisa halakha. Even if they would do it at the same time, and in most families they would do it at the same time. But even if they would do it at the same time, I don't think it would matter. It's different maisas, different mitzvahs. So how could you do that? Ah, said the Bris Rav. It's the Ramah l'shitaso. Just like the Ramah holds in Hilchos Bris Milah, that during the week, 6 days a week, you would go back to do the tzitzin she'enam ha'akvin, even though you'd already finished the Milah. And apparently you see from that that the Ramah holds that there is an idea of there is a kiyum of hidur even after the completion of the Maaseh, the Ikar Mitzvah. So too says the Rebbevel, you see the Ramah holds the same thing in Hilchos Hanukkah, beautiful, the Shitaso. The Ramah rejects it both times, he's consistent, and the Ramah allows it both times, he's consistent. That you can have hidur mitzvah according to the Ramah even after the completion of the Maaseh Mitzvah. It's better in theory to have it together. Halavai and Bris Milah, for example, would be better to have it together, of course. But in Chanukah, where by definition it's impossible, the way Chazal were masaking the level 2, the Hiddur Mitzvah, and everyone lighting, so says the Ramah, as understood by the Bris Karam. Obviously, you have to have the father lighting and everyone else lighting. I separate Maaseh Hadlakos, and technically we're already Yotzei when the father lit? Yeah, okay. But what's the problem? The Shitaka, we hold you can have Hiddur Mitzvah. Even separate. I just want to conclude number 4 with some interesting Hilchos Sukkos, or Hilchos Dalad Minim cases. One is in the Beis HaLevi himself, he raises a question. And the second is a famous story about Reb Chaim. We're going to do the father and the grandson. We can't, you know, the grandfather and the grandson, we have to get the middle generation of Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim, as far as I know, has nothing in print in his own Sefer or even in the Shirim of Reb Chaim. But there's a story. You don't get many brisker stories. But this is a good brisker story. So Reb Chaim, apparently, the story is not exciting. There's no action in this movie. It's a big-time documentary. Just one sentence. So Reb Chaim asked the following kasha. Right? You have to have a lot of music to make an exciting question, but that's the whole story. Says Reb Chaim, I wonder the following. If I have two esrogim, one is definitely kosher, but not that nice. The other is very beautiful, it just might not be kosher. What should I do? So he assumes, as a good brisker, of course you're going to take both. So the question is, what's the order? Or just maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe I just do both, then that's my chumrah. My brisker chumrahs, I took both. No, Reb Chaim, real brisker chumrahs are precise. What's the order? Or does it matter? Reb Chaim's question. Before Reb Chaim had this story, it's in the Tshuvas of his father. It's in the Tshuvas of the Beis HaLevi, a similar shaila. Not where you have both and you haven't taken it yet, but the Beis HaLevi quotes the following story. He says, Kama Nispaki, he says, many years I've been wondering the following shaila. I already shook lulav. I'm yotzei in the morning during Shabbos. Later, another afternoon, someone shows me, Rabbi, come look at my lulav. Isn't it so beautiful? Look at my eyes, isn't it beautiful? And the rabbi says, well, yeah, a lot nicer than mine. Says the Beis HaLevi, I was wondering, does it make sense, is it kedai, to do a re-natila, reshaping of the lulav, in this new muhudar world? Again, maybe there's nothing to lose, but says the Beis HaLevi, you wonder, is there anything to gain? Is there any point in shaking the lulav a second time with this more muhudar one? You know, minutes, hours, days after I already shook with my more basic one. I don't think so. I don't think it's like a problem. But the shaila is, there's even a point of doing it. So it's, in essence, it's the same shaila as the story of Reb Chaim. And Baruch Hashem, there's no family controversy here. The father and the son both are consistent. Take a look at the Beis HaLevi in number 4. He concludes, he wonders, he says, many years I wondered, then he figured out his chiddush in the Rambam and Hilchos Bris Milah. He applied it to Hilchos Lulav. Now that I understand the shitas of the Rambam and Bris Milah, Now, Ashav Shekvar Natal the Yotzebo, I already fulfilled my lulav and esrog earlier in the day with Echanami, not as nice, but a kosher lulav and esrog. Ain't love chiyuv shel mitzvah. There's no more chiyuv, there's no more mitzvah. And came b'may yisna ezeh below mitzvah. Again, it's a beautiful and precise formulation of the Beis Halevi. B'may yisna, with what are you going to fulfill hinner mitzvah? And what's the implication? You can't fulfill hinner mitzvah unless it's piggybacking on a mitzvah itself. The Shitaso, as he understands the Rambam. And once you, early in the day, shoot lulav, that's it. It's great. You fulfill the mitzvah. It's not the most who there are beautiful lulav. That's not okay. But you for sure fulfill the mitzvah. So what are you going to say an hour later, even 10 minutes later, 5 minutes later, I'll shake a second lulav? But we said before, this is like Prophet's Ba'avir. That's just flying in the air. It's meaningless. And sure enough, that's the story they say over in the name of Reb Chaim. The story is quoted in a few places. I gave it to you in one place. Is Mekrei Kodesh, that's Tzi Pesach Frank. He quotes this in the name of Rav Zevin, who quotes the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the story of the two Esrogim. And what did Rav Chaim say about the two Esrogim? Because you take the one that's more beautiful, but maybe not even kosher, you take that one first. Then, like a good brisker, you're machmir, and you take the second Esrog, which is Vavai kosher, you take that second. Why in that order? So the Chaim said, again, she tossed his father beautifully, like the Beis Halevi. Because if you took the first esrog right away, the kosher esrog for sure, you're yotzei the mitzvah, for sure. So then 2 minutes later, you're going to take the second esrog. What's the point? You already fulfilled the mitzvah. Whereas if you reverse the order, you take a more beautiful but maybe not kosher esrog first. So if it's a kosher esrog, you fulfill the mitzvah, behiduro, the beautiful esrog. And the fact that I'm going to, in a minute, take the second esrog, stop its mitzvah's mind. And if it turns out that this beautiful esrog was beautiful but not kosher, then I took the second esrog as my backup. But it only works, quote unquote, the chumra, quote unquote, only makes sense, says Reb Chaim, in that order. Because if you'd already, if you do the reverse order, you took the esrog as vadai kosher first, then there'd be no point in taking the second esrog. Where does he get that chiddush from? He gets it from the Beis Halevi. And Baruch Hashem, he passed on a generation, and his son, the Brisker, said the same thing about Chanukah. So you have the Rambam L'shitaso, and we have Beis Brisk L'shitaso. Now again, just like, to be fair, and then with this we'll conclude, just like the Ramah and the Tur, and apparently Rashi disagreed with the Rambam, so there are Acharonim who disagree with Beis Brisk. For example, the Ksav Sofer, the Chasam Sofer's son, right? You know, there aren't that many families that can stand toe-to-toe with the Soloveitchiks, but the Chasam Sofer and Mishpachto can. The Sofer family has also many generations of Gedolei Yisrael. And sure enough, in generation number two, the Ksav Sofer, he has a similar Shiloh. Mishaberech al Esrog she'enu min ha-Mukhar. He first already did an Esrog that's not as beautiful. V'shum is damo min ha-Mukhar. Then you get a second Esrog which is more beautiful. Says the Ksav Sofer, Poshim, v'aray v'zush yachud yedlenu. And he even goes so far as to say, someone asked me a minute ago, the Ksav Sofer says even make a bracha on the second Esrog. Now the bracha thing is a really controversial statement of the Ksav Sofer. Let's not go there. But it says it's partial to so the South Sofer. Yes, you yotzei the lulav and yesrog 10 hours ago. So what? You get a more beautiful esrog? Hit our mitzvah, shake it again. Brisker say that makes no sense. What's the point? You already were yotzei. South Sofer apparently is working with the Ramah, with the Tur, with the Rashi. Why not? Who said you have to have such an integral connection simultaneously between the hiddur and the basic mitzvah? So the Rambam and the Briskers hold that way. We see many examples of it. But just like Rashi and the Torah disagreed, the Ksav Sofer disagrees with Reb Chaim. All right, have a good Shabbos.